Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Okay, we're here, we're live, and we're on air now, so no whammies, folks.
Rare insight for the first time in quite a while, maybe ever, I can finally figure out why you're in such a pissy, salty mood, Jack. Because okay. You came in with a bad energy, and now I can ask your wife, Sarah Morgan. Sarah, why is Jack in such a bad mood?
Care to speculate?
I don't know. I wasn't aware that he was in a bad mood.
Oh, so this is just how he always
does. I mean, wow. I did bedtime, and I was looking after the child from 5 to 7, so he okay. has no real cause for complaint.
Found a pretty big fucking rat in our garage.
Oh, but that's it. That's why.
Literally before we sat down to record.
Yeah, that's
and
why.
By rat, I mean mouse, but it was very big. And I'm saying mouse because I don't want to countenance the idea that it might be a rat because they're just, I guess, scarier and meaner. What did I do with
Texas
it? I looked
has
at
rats.
It.
They have like prairie mice, right?
Okay, it's a prairie mouse.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, well, say your prayers, prairie mouse, because I'm coming for you with a humane trap. And I'm going to set you free in the fields if I can. What a nightmare. Folks, we're here. We've got a book to talk about. We should say who we are.
Video novel to talk about. And
we should say what the show is.
We should say what the show is. It's Babysitter's Club.
Yep.
And we talk about babysitting novels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's season, I don't know, 10.
10 or 11 now. And the first season was Anne and Martin. And we did the babysitting novels of Anne and Martin. Second season was babysitting novels of The Mandalorian. And then we did the babysitting novel that was Walter World and on and on. And now we're doing a babysitting novel that happens to be my wife's favorite film. And that's why Sarah Morgan is joining us. I'm Jack Shepard.
My name's Tanner Greenring.
Now, who are you? I know who, but for the listeners.
I'm Sarah Morgan.
Okay.
Okay. And it's funny because you said Sarah Morgan was your wife.
Yeah.
But I noticed that her name is Sarah Morgan. Your name's Jack Shepard.
Yeah, I guess she didn't miss the name. And that's from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know, Tanner, after we got married, as we walked down the aisle to confetti and walked out of the church, and my mom was the first person to greet us, and she gave Sarah a big hug, and she said, Mrs. Shepard! Yeah. And Sarah's like, no. I guess I didn't miss the name.
What's Cyril then?
Shepherd.
Oh wow. So the patriarchy still dominates.
Yeah. Cyril
He's got Morgan in there.
Cyril it's James Morgan Shepherd.
Yeah.
It's a very waspy name you've given your boy.
I mean, Cyril is like almost a caricature of a waspy. I mean, it's not, it's like, it's.
It's not even waspy. It's like.
Literally like an Edwardian name.
Yeah. The Victorian England. Yeah.
This week we're talking about a novel. It's called Bringing Up Baby, and it's a movie, and they did it on the big screen, but they forgot to put any colors in it.
It's a film. They forgot to put colors in it. It's about a woman who gives birth to a panther.
Yeah.
And is so ashamed from her lusting after an animal that she refuses to give her offspring a name, so she just calls it Baby.
Yes.
The Baby.
Okay.
It's a lot like, I'm feeling a lot of echoes of The Mandalorian in this one, aren't you?
It's a lot like The Mandalorian,
Mandalorian had the child, this one has the baby.
For folks who haven't seen Mandalorian, it's a video novel about Werner Herzog gives birth to a green creature.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it Baby.
Who made this movie? Howard Hughes?
Howard Hawks.
Howard
Hudson Hawks.
Hawk.
Hudson Hawks. We actually have an expert. One of the reasons we brought Sarah on, it's been too long since we've had your wife on, and it's made me seethe with envy and rage. So I've been turnabout is fair play, and I've been biding my time. And now is the time, because Sarah knows about this film, and I didn't get it, and it's probably the fourth time I've seen it, because like periodically throughout our relationship, Sarah will make me watch it, and I'll
Jack, it's a very good film. What's not to get?
Yeah, it's very funny and good.
I don't get
Thank you, Tanner.
But so it's Hudson Hawk made it, did it. From Bruce Willis, Hudson Hawk.
The Bruce Willis film, Hudson Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is I'm not familiar with
the film.
Sort of a crime caper.
Yeah.
Heist film.
And the premise, and just to be clear here, it's got a very specific premise, and the premise is that he, like, the way he does his capers is he, like, has perfect timing, and so he'll put on a music track.
Oh, that seems cool.
And he knows, like, at exactly the moment in the track to, like, dodge out of the way of the laser beam or whatever.
If I remember correctly, it's like
it's
rap
terrible,
pack, like Sinatra.
It's unwatchable.
Music. Yeah, they used to show it on Comedy Central.
But he wrote this film. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Real expert.
Good.
No, I don't actually. I love the movie, but I realize
you don't
I don't
know who wrote it.
Know.
Okay, well then it's Hudson Hawk, and the person that's in
Bruce
it
Willis
is Clark Kent from It's a Wonderful Life.
Clark Kent from It's a Wonderful Life,
yep.
And Audrey Hepburn from Breakfast at Tiffany.
Yes.
Also known as Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wait, the lady's name is Katharine Hepburn?
Yeah,
that's Katharine Hepburn.
So awkward to be like, oh, I randomly have the same last name as Audrey Hepburn, and like, change your fucking name. Like, get a different last name. There's already a Hepburn in the biz.
I think it's a Beyonce, Sasha Fierce kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're the same person.
Are they, Sarah, you must know this. Are they related?
I think they must be, but I guess I don't know. I don't know why you had me on this podcast. I don't know anything. Wow,
it's a real... you know what's nice is looking at our Zoom window and seeing my my beautiful cat behind you licking her crotch. That's...
That is nice. Yeah.
Sarah doesn't know whether Audrey Hepburn and Katharine Hepburn are related, and neither do I. So we're all going to be feeling around in the dark a little bit today. It's a film. It's called Bringing Up Baby. Bringing Up Baby. I want to talk about it a lot. I should say, Tanner, you don't know this, or maybe you do.
No, they're not related.
They're not. Okay.
Audrey Hepburn is her parents are both Dutch royalty, and Katharine Hepburn is the child of two wealthy Connecticuters.
Okay.
There you go.
That could be Miles too.
That could be Miles.
Yeah.
Except not wealthy, more like firmly middle class.
Okay. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You don't know this, Tanner. When Sarah and I were courting in the...
I was around for it.
You were around for it in the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah's favorite films are these old movies like this, where they forgot to put any color in it.
Yeah.
And my favorite...
everyone's got that like fake English accent.
Everyone's like doing a fake English accent.
The mid-Atlantic accent, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite films are Arnold Schwarzenegger films. And so we, Excuse me?
That Arnold Schwarzenegger film, Collateral Damage, it came out in like 2000, I'm going to say four.
Yeah, that would be an example. Yeah.
Right.
But so we would, when we were courting, we would have movie nights where we would watch one of these old fucking snooze fests.
Treasures.
And then we'd watch Predator.
Right.
And it was half good.
Yeah, I bridged.
Yeah, it was half good.
Yeah, so that's
to bridge
we
the gap
on.
Between you two, because I do love Predator, but I did go to film school, and they did make me watch a lot of
black I bet they did
movies like Bringing Up Baby, which I watched and I loved.
Yeah, it's so good.
And rewatched.
I didn't get
two
it
days ago.
I
and
did
still loved
not
it.
Get it. I'll have you guys explain it to me. I didn't
How
get
did
it.
You know? What's not to get?
It's the kind of film that my wife would hate.
Yeah.
Because it's all based on it's a type of like humor and plot point that's based on people not listening to one another and people not like finishing their sentences.
Right.
And a lot of misconceptions and madcap hijinks because of that.
And I always fall asleep at the end. I always fall asleep at the end.
He does. It's such a disappointment to me.
What? So you've never seen the end of this film?
I've never seen the end of this film. I've watched it four times. She gives birth
in full color.
Yeah.
To another panther.
Yeah. Holy shit.
It's spectacular. It's an amazing and this one's sequence. Mean. Yeah.
It's like the Good Child, that Macaulay Culkin film.
What does that happen in that one? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
What's the name of the panther lady from Thundercats? Chitara?
Chitara. Pantera was a band.
It's a metal band. Yeah. Is that, are those, Sarah's the expert on this film so far.
Yep. I'm doing great.
Are those films kind of in the same narrative universe?
As the Thundercats? Thundercats?
Yeah. Do you know the Thundercats?
This is like a prequel to Thundercats, okay. I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first human-cat hybrid.
Yeah.
She finally successfully figured it out. Katharine Hepburn did.
Yeah.
Audrey Hepburn, sorry.
It's difficult to keep track. It's Clark Kent from It's a Wonderful Life and Audrey Hepburn from Midnight in Paris.
My wife
saw
Clark Gable on the screen
and
was like, this man is a bumbling, effete dork.
Yeah.
I thought Clark Gable was supposed to be extremely handsome hunk from the 1930s.
Yeah, he's not handsome. Mm-hmm.
He is a handsome hunk.
And Sarah's
Audrey
expert
Hepburn
on this
says
stuff,
over
so.
And over again that he's very handsome without his glasses on.
Yeah, you know, she does have that belief.
Yeah, that's Clark Kent, right?
That's Clark Kent. Oh, yeah. And then he's, of course, he's handsome. He's Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should describe this novel.
A lot happened. A lot happened in this book.
Here's what I think should happen is Sarah should describe it.
Yeah, she has to.
You've got to say what happened.
Okay.
What we like to do is...
Shit, you're so fucked too, Sarah, because...
Yeah.
As Jack is about to say, we give you the amount of seconds that there are years this film was released in.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the best way to say that?
It's one of the worst. It's one of the worst ways to say it.
You take off the 19 on the front.
I think you're still doing a bad job of how you're saying it. Could I try to say it?
You take a run at it.
Okay. we're going to give you the same number of seconds. That correspond to the year that this film was released.
Except my
1,934 seconds.
The one and the nine on the front. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's harder to say than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that difficult.
Now the ball's in my court, I'm realizing. You know. Now that the shoe's on my foot. Listen. And what? When did this movie come out? Fucking 1905. 38.
Yeah.
That seems like not enough.
38 seconds? No, it's going to be very difficult, especially for someone who's literally never done it before.
Can we give her 38 seconds and then give her another 38 seconds?
No.
Okay. All right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're right. All right. You have 38 seconds to describe this.
Here's what I can do. I can give you 19 seconds and then 38 seconds.
That seems pretty good.
Okay.
Does that get us a little closer to something?
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Let's give her 19 seconds. Let's all take a break after 19 seconds and kind of talk about how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll give her 38 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's 57 seconds total. That's pretty close to a standard.
That's a wild amount of seconds.
Yeah.
Can you operate the big bad clock this time, Tanner?
19 second timer.
Yeah.
I'll do the first one. You do the second one, right?
Fine. Sure.
All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Cary Grant is an archaeologist, and he is putting together a big dinosaur skeleton. And yes, a brontosaurus. And he needs to impress a lawyer whose client might give him money. And
you're out of time.
Okay. Yeah. So
poor showing.
I did think I would do better than that.
Yeah. It's difficult with someone correcting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That threw me off a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assess. So we got, I think I knew that stuff.
Which stuff?
So I haven't learned anything yet. I knew what Sarah told me in those 19
seconds.
Well,
you did just watch the film.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that I don't know from the film. So I think we haven't really got past the first like little bit. But it was I think it was a good setting of the scene.
Literally the entire
All right, I'm going to put 38 seconds on this big bad clock during that time. Tanner, what about let's not interrupt her? Do you think? What do you think?
It's not interrupting her. It's expanding on what she's saying for our audience.
And what about let's not do that this time? Do you think?
Going to be very difficult for me. But.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Ready? I'm going to give you 38 seconds to continue describing this film in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
So this lawyer's client is going to give away $1 million. Cary Grant has to impress this man. But as he's trying to do that while playing golf, he meets Katharine Hepburn, who throws his life into chaos by playing with his golf ball and wrecking his car. And then later they run into each other at a restaurant and just a gradually escalating series of hijinks occurs. Katharine Hepburn, it turns out, has been sent a leopard by her brother. And then she persuades Cary Grant to help her take care of the leopard. They go to Connecticut, and I guess a lot more hijinks happen.
It's hard to do, isn't it?
It's difficult.
I was only able to really scratch the surface of what happened in this film.
Can I just a constructive criticism?
Sure.
Taking the first 19 seconds to just describe the first opening scene.
Oh, that's rich coming from you, Tanner. That's rich. Tanner takes the first 19 seconds to try to remember the name of the main character and like look it up on Wikipedia.
That's the nice part about the new show is I don't even have to remember the name of the main character. I can just make up whatever. And people are like, ah. Enola Holmes.
Don't make fun of our show. Can I try to say what happened? What about that? But we won't time it.
Let me just. Think you need to?
I think so because. But you can correct me because I don't know what happened.
Right. So let me ask. Genuinely, did you fall asleep at the end of this film?
Yeah.
What's the last thing you remember seeing?
Sarah, can you? What? When did I fall asleep?
It's difficult to say because I did keep trying to wake you up and make you finish watching the film.
Okay, well, I'm going to reveal a secret to you.
Yeah, when that doesn't work.
When was the first time that you said, "Are you asleep?" And I said, "No," because that's when I fell asleep.
Yeah,
you were just waiting for permission.
Because the way that our TV watching works is like we watch until I can't. And then Sarah says, "Are you asleep?" And I will like fervently deny it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll do that dance for a while. But really, the first time is it's over then.
Why don't you just embrace it, man? We have a thing in this house we call Sleepy Jamie. And it's when we're sitting and watching TV, Jamie decides at some point, usually around 8:30, that she's just going to fall asleep on the couch.
I'll tell you why. Well, let's both tell you why. Also, can I start?
You start. Yeah.
Okay. This is therapy. For me, I think that we are at cross purposes. I quite like to slowly drift off to sleep on the couch while we're watching a film together.
Right.
And Sarah, I think, strongly believes that that means it's bedtime.
Yeah.
If you are going to fall asleep, that means it's bedtime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Bedtime for me, and like if the situation were reversed. Sarah would very responsibly be like, "I'm falling asleep. Let's pause this film. I'm going to go to bed and then allow me as the awake party to watch a different thing."
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm enjoying this. Though, like, and in fairness to you, like, then the next day we'll have to, like, watch the movie again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that also probably sucks.
My main objection is that we've agreed to watch a thing together, and then you have essentially left halfway through.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But you're pretending like you're still there, so you're also preventing me from watching a different thing that I might prefer to watch.
Judge Tanner, who is in the right here? Who's correct?
Oh, it's such a tricky wicket for me because I'm the Sarah in my relationship with Jamie. But what I do is when Jamie falls asleep watching something that we are mutually watching together, is I will turn it off and go put on something I want to watch, which is usually very scary. And
that would serve him right.
You know, someone will shriek in terror.
Yeah.
And Jamie will wake up and see like gore. And be like, what is this? And it must be hellish for her, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to try that next time.
Okay.
No, that is what I should do. That is what I should do is the first time I notice you're falling asleep is I should just without comments, which is a different show.
You can't. I mean, I've got to say, like, the level at which I would protest that it would be quite high.
Yeah, I know, but
you wouldn't even notice.
You'd be lying.
Dreamland, yeah. Captain Nemo.
Listen, we must give our viewers some sense of what happened in this film beyond what we've said so far. Let me try and you can correct me.
Okay. Yep.
The lady gives birth to a panther.
Yep.
No.
Okay. Great. I'm really just getting started.
I just watched the film. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's at least strongly implied that she gave birth to a panther.
The lady gives birth to a panther and then Clark Kent is building a dinosaur. And if he puts the last bone in the dinosaur, it will come to life.
It will come to life.
And he's building it with his
bone dinosaur.
His wife and his
necromancer.
He's a necromancer. He's a bone man, and they call him a bone man, or I call him a bone man, but a lady calls him Mr. Bone.
I want you to meet Mr. Bone.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Bone?
Oh, you're Mr. Bone. This is Major Applegate.
Yes, I'm Major Applegate. At least I'm pretty sure I am. That is, I was this morning.
there must be some mistake.
No, there isn't any mistake.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'll say.
No, but that's the thing.
I got a bone, man.
It's sexy, and it's sexy
when he was
what's
in
happening.
That little night robe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got a bone,
on the
man.
The Connecticut farm.
But then, a bone man. His wife, or his wife-to-be, is building the bone dinosaur.
Ms. Swallow
is necromancing the dinosaur with him, and her name is Ms. Swallow, and that's also
sexy,
isn't it?
Sexy.
Sex
stuff. That's sex stuff.
But
or it can be.
They're not.
I don't know.
Going to
not
get married
sex stuff,
because
be.
Audrey Hepburn or Katharine Hepburn.
Same thing.
Interrupts their golf game. You've already said all this, and then she's given birth to a panther, and then the whole rest of the film is hijinks. You did say it. You said it fine. It was fine.
It's hijinks.
It's just hijinks. Yeah, it's just a lot of hijinks.
It's hijinks and hijinks.
Underpants.
She kidnaps him, and then so what I don't know, and you guys can tell me, does he break off his engagement with Miss Swallow? And
yeah.
Miss Swallow shows up at the end. Everything has gotten extremely silly at the end. Then the two serious people in the film show up. And it's Miss Swallow and the lawyer. And Miss Swallow is like, you are much too silly for me. And we cannot get married.
She says something about
Jack,
butterflies.
Have you seen the film Junior?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes.
Yeah, I know you have because you said that's your favorite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
sort of what happens at the end of the film.
She gives birth to another panther.
Clark Gable.
He does. Okay.
Is impregnated by Katharine Hepburn, and he gives birth to another panther.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the film.
This is very confusing for me.
And the other panther's mean.
The second leopard is mean. Yes, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. And
some of the other stuff you said was not accurate.
What? Okay. Have you seen Junior? Because that's what the plot
no,
of Junior.
I haven't seen Junior, actually.
Arnold Schwarzenegger gives birth to
In him. Your yeah. mind, what happens? They show the birth off screen or what?
No, full. It's like the
I'm
last
asking my
30
wife.
Minutes. Oh, sorry.
No one gives birth to a panther
on
in
screen.
This film.
Not on screen.
Yeah.
I guess one assumes that at some point a mother leopard gave birth to a leopard that was the leopard that is called
a
Baby.
A mother leopard named... Aubrey Hepburn.
Aubrey Hepburn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got it.
It's like the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, it's pretty
so
intense.
Twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it might be too early for fan theories with Cam Geary.
No, I think this is a perfect time.
Okay. You want to do
it out.
Okay, so this is a hot segment that we like to do on our show about babysitting, and it's called Fan Theories with Cam Geary. And it's mostly just because Cam Geary rhymes with fan theory, and Cam Geary's from the Babysitter's Club, and Cam Theory's an iconic babysitting legend. And
You said Cam Theory a second ago.
Did I?
Yep. You did, yeah.
What's your Cam Theory?
What's my Cam Geary theory? I've got a few. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of so just quickly before you start.
Yeah.
What kind of reaction are you looking for from us, the two people who have seen this film multiple times? Are you looking for Mythbusters, kind of like
I want
confirmed, busted?
Honest? Yeah, I want confirmed or busted. Yes, that's okay. What I want. And okay. You can both. That's perfect. Let's start with this one. At the 56-minute mark of this film,
mm-hmm.
They've gotten to some dinner party for a reason that I can't quite tell with some old people. Is that so far so true?
Yes.
They go
yes.
to a dinner party and everybody's acting wild.
Which dinner party? Are they all in Tails or is it like a quaint Connecticut dining room?
Just the Panthers in Tails. Classic.
No, but seriously, is it a fancy restaurant or is it?
It's inside someone's house.
Okay.
Yeah, he's talking about the farm.
And there's an old man who's like a boring old man, and he's married, I think, to a lady that they're trying to get money from.
Not married, but go ahead.
And uh-huh. The old man, there's a big sound outside, and it's, yep. Ooh, yeah. It's a big sound. And yeah. The man says, I've heard many a loom, and if I've heard a loom, that was a loom.
Elizabeth, are you quite sure that was a loom?
Oh, yes, indeed, Elizabeth. I've heard many a loom, and if there ever was a loom, that is a loom.
And my theory is that this film is actually about and in the same narrative universe as the 90s LucasArts adventure game.
Yep.
Loom.
The order, confirmed, the yeah. order is bringing a baby,
yeah.
Thundercats,
yeah.
Loom.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the narrative universe,
mm-hmm.
Spiritual sequels and direct sequels to one another. So confirmed.
Okay. And Mythbuster number two, Sarah Morgan, My Life. Confirmed or what do you say on Mythbusters?
Busted.
Busted.
I would say busted. Okay. I would say he was saying.
You played Loom, Sarah?
I haven't played Loom.
Have you watched Thundercats?
I haven't watched Thundercats.
Okay, so.
Well, on shaky ground to discuss this.
This is your authority that you've brought in, Jack?
So wait, so on what grounds would you say that the myth is busted?
Because he's saying loon, like the bird, loon. Not loom, like the loom.
1992 graphics art.
Yeah, like the 1992.
Loon?
Loon, like the bird.
I don't think there's a bird called a loon.
It's the Minnesota State bird, Jack.
Okay.
And it goes like this.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it sounds much like a leopard.
What do they say on Mythbusters when there's no way to tell? Like where there's plausible. Like some evidence in one, they say plausible. Okay. Yeah. So I think that we're going to mark this one as plausible.
Plausible.
Plausible. Yeah. Very plausible.
Okay. Theory number two, Cam Geary's fan theory number two. At the 15-minute and 14-second mark.
Okay, I'm right there.
Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Audrey Hepburn
mm-hmm.
are having a conversation. They've just met, and she's annoying him. She annoys him for most of the movie, and then he proposes
she's
to
annoying.
Her. Is
she's
that
annoying.
Accurate?
She's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He hates her for the whole movie, and then he proposes
so
to
did
her.
I.
I kind of liked
she's
her.
So
she had
whimsical
this chaotic,
and charming.
Evil yeah. energy to her.
Yeah.
No, she is. She's like a manic pixie dream girl 70 years.
Turned up to 11.
Popularized.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
She doesn't have the short haircut, but.
What archetype is she, Sarah?
Well, she's a screwball comedy heroine, so okay. that she. They often are sort of a force of chaos. But I think probably the Manic Pixie Dream Girl is like an homage to that, but not executed as well. Because the screwball heroines are like, I don't know, they're quick-witted. They're chaotic and strange, but they have a lot going on, I feel like.
Jack, you know about drugs, right?
Yeah.
What is a screwball a drug thing?
A screwball is a drink thing. Oh, a speedball is a drug thing. A screwball is
speedball.
A drink
thing. Okay.
I was going to say that.
Because you keep saying screwball heroin, and it's just, it's bringing me right back to my college days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mumra.
Say it again.
Mum-Ra. In the Thundercats universe, the chaotic like energy comes from Mum-Ra.
And okay. Can you speak bad guy?
To that? No, you can't. She hasn't seen Thundercats.
I can speak to it. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's the main bad guy. He's like Skeletor in that he's got this ripped up, muscly body.
But he's got like a mummy face.
And then he's a mummy head.
Yeah. Mm. And he brings that. So just to kind of draw the parallel, because this is in the Thundercats universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's got this chaotic, evil energy, but in the Thundercats universe, it's mostly Mum-Ra.
It is mostly Mum-Ra.
Can I say my theory?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one? Third one?
Second one.
Okay.
I may only give you two for now. So at the 15-minute, 14-second mark, Clark Kent says to Katharine Hepburn.
Uh-huh.
Look, will you do something for me? And then she says, a needle? I don't remember why she says that.
Because his jacket is ripped.
Screwball.
His jacket is ripped. And then he says, no, it's simpler than that.
Let's play a game.
And then she says,
Jigsaw.
Oh, what?
And then he says,
well, watch. I'll put my hand over my eyes and then you go away.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll count to 10 and when I take my hand down, you will be gone.
And my theory is that it's a Saw movie.
It's a Saw movie.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Right? At that, so when somebody said in a film, and this is, Tanner, you've been to film school, so you know this.
I've been to film school.
Yeah, in a film,
I've seen all the Saw movies.
When somebody says, let's play a game, that's a trope that sets up a Jigsaw situation. And so the rest of the film is a Jigsaw situation.
It's a complex trap where, like, you were in a stolen car with a panther in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
What do you do?
And he's the bad one. And it's just like Jigsaw, which I haven't seen, but I think it's like that, where it's like he seems like he's nobody or nothing or boring, and too, like you could ignore him because he's just like a big nerd who's trying to make a dinosaur, and she's
Wait,
the crazy
that about
one.
Jigsaw?
No, I'm.
Let Jigsaw's me, not boring.
But the way he presents is, oh, in the first film, he's a fucking dead body. Is that the most boring thing you could be?
I guess. I thought you said you hadn't seen it.
You've told me enough about it. But he presents as being like unremarkable, but he says, let's play a game. And then they have this like chaos nightmare. She gives birth to a panther and like the cops arrest them and they go to jail. And like,
yeah, he gives birth to a panther. There's a German, like psychoanalyst who's like haunting them the entire time.
I usually talk about nervous disorders. I am a psychiatrist.
Would you mind if I asked your professional opinion about something?
Not at all.
Well, now, what would you say about a man who follows a girl around?
Follows her around?
And then when she talks to him, he fights with her.
Fights with her? Mm-hmm. Is the young man your fiancé?
Oh, no, I don't know him. I never even saw him before today.
Oh.
No, he just follows me around and fights with me.
Trying to give them, like, electroshock therapy or whatever they did back then.
Yeah. Okay, so Mythbusters.
Did you encounter that character at all, Jack?
What? Who?
The German.
I don't remember it.
The psychiatrist?
No, I don't remember it.
They first encounter him at the Ritz-Carlton dinner scene.
Okay.
Carey Mulligan steals his wife's purse.
Oh, there is the young lady. Now look, isn't this your purse?
No, this is my purse.
What day you are? Just
wait a minute, wait a minute.
Now just a minute. Didn't you give me this purse to hold?
Yes, that's right. I did. I gave him the purse to hold. You see, there's been a mistake. I lost my purse and I must have picked up your wife's purse by mistake. And I wanted him to stay here, so I gave him your wife's purse to hold while I went to find my purse, and I was coming right back. Now that's all perfectly clear, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then somehow they managed to also find him in Westlake, Connecticut. And this is a segment I have called Kinetic Check.
Okay, yeah. I was going to make sure that you did a Kinetic Check this week.
Not a place.
Westlake is not a place?
Nope.
It just sounds so much like a place in Connecticut.
It's not. Okay. Not a place in Connecticut. And that's Kinetic Check.
And you just got Kinetic Checked, Cary Grant. And Tanner, at the 57-minute mark of this video novel, the old guy who they have dinner with says,
"Now that's peculiar. There aren't any leopards in Connecticut, are there?"
Okay, and that's
I'm asking you for a Kinetic Check.
Yeah.
Well,
we need to know.
It's a tricky question because
in the film there
literally
are.
Were in
yeah.
the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was more than one. There was two. The one that Audrey Hepburn gave birth to and the one that Cary Grant gave birth to.
Can you, Sarah, can Gary you Morgan. Explain what, why is there's a second, and I really need to know this. Why is there a second leopard in the film?
Yeah, because there's a circus passing through town, and it just so happens that...
Andy Circus.
Andy Circus is in town.
And yeah, and he
plays the leopard.
He does play the leopard, yeah.
The leopard.
Okay, okay. That yeah. makes sense now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so they're explaining that there's a scene where the people from the circus are like, oh my gosh, the leopard just mauled somebody. We've got to get rid of this leopard.
Darth
We've got to
Maul.
Drive
Sorry,
him.
Just for the listeners, Darth Maul.
Yeah, yeah. So he got him with the lightning?
Lightsaber, it's called.
Yeah. Okay, okay, lightsaber, yeah. And so they're like, we got to take the leopard to be, you know, humanely put down because he's such a menace.
Yeah.
And then...
Phantom Menace, and it's a reference to.
And it's
sorry,
the Phantom
and, yeah, it is, yeah. and it is the Phantom Menace. And then yeah. That truck with that leopard on it, they mm-hmm. run into Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn, who are looking for the tame leopard. Mm-hmm. And Katharine Hepburn thinks that the leopard in the back of the circus people's truck,
Andy Circus,
yeah, she thinks that that is her tame leopard,
circus people,
and she takes it out of the truck. And okay. then there's two.
But it's
leopards.
Not. It's a mean leopard. That's the one that Carey Mulligan gives birth to.
You can see why I didn't understand this film, even after
well,
watching
it. Well, the main reason tough. That you didn't understand it was that you were asleep at that point. And I did yeah. try to wake you up and make you watch it because I knew that you were going to be podcasting about it. And I thought you'd want to be a responsible journalist and, wow. and watch the film.
Wow. It's a metaphysically yeah. challenging film.
Yeah. Well, hang on, folks. We have to take a break, but Mythbuster me on the Jigsaw. Tanner? Confirmed or
confirmed?
Confirmed. Sarah?
I'm gonna say busted again.
Okay. All
so
right.
Plausible.
So it's plausible.
Okay. okay. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk more about this fascinating babysitting film. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, I'm going to throw to my wife. Sarah, you like this movie a lot.
I do like this movie a lot.
Can you tell us a lot too, a little bit? Fine, Tanner, you can say after. How about that?
No, I want, this is, Sarah, take the wheel.
Sarah, please take the wheel, because this has gone off the rails, much like this film does in the first fucking minute. Tell me why you like this film, which is fun. I kind of liked it. It's sometimes very funny, but it's hard to watch.
It's a good film.
I can't tell who's who, and it's all black and white. Sarah, why do you like this?
I love the screwball comedies of the 30s and 40s. I love this era of romantic comedies. I love the witty repartee, you know, the funny dialogue. I love the stars. I think, you know, obviously Cary Grant and Katherine Hepburn are amazing and icons and et cetera. I love the way that Katherine Hepburn's character gets to be the force of chaos in the film. I think that, like, in more recent romantic comedies, there was, you know, we went through a whole period where it was like with Knocked Up and other films like that, the female character has to be like this force of domesticity, and like the dudes are like children, and they can't get their shit together.
Knocked Up was 2007, by the way.
Yes, I realized that was a long time ago. But I don't know. I feel like it's emblematic of this type of film where like the woman in the film is like, she has a job and she is responsible, and the male character is more of the force of chaos, right?
No, and you're right. And as I've already kind of mentioned, just playing off of that, like already by the 80s, like in the kind of sequel to this, Mumra, a man is the force of chaos.
Yeah.
Chitara
has to be like this, like kind of buttoned up.
The other one. Do you remember the other one?
Lionel?
No, wasn't there two ladies on the Thundercats?
There might be a leopard. There's a panther. Sarah, why don't you continue talking about the film while Tanner looks up Thundercats?
I'm gonna look up the notable characters.
No, please do, because I do think that will be helpful and relevant as well. And I think obviously, you know, we live in a patriarchy, so sort of both versions are sexist, you know, so far, far as we've come. So
nobody wins.
Yeah, nobody wins. But I think what I like about the screwball comedy is that, you know, it's just a more fun dynamic role for the female lead. You know, Katherine Hepburn gets to come in here and just like totally blow up Cary Grant's life.
Oh, David, don't be so grouchy. We could have such fun. This moonlight and everything is so lovely. And I do so like being with you.
You do? Well, I like peace and quiet.
But it's peaceful and quiet here.
Oh, well, let's just stay here and let George and baby look for us.
Oh, David, your sock's on fire.
Oh, that's all right. I don't care anymore.
In a way that he is distressed about it the whole time, but as we've discussed, by the end of the film, he realizes that he's really enjoyed it, and it's been really fun.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I ought to thank you.
Thank me?
Yes.
For what?
You see, well, I've just discovered that was the best day I ever had in my whole life.
And then he throws aside the other woman who did nothing
wrong.
Well,
she kind of throws him aside.
Yeah, she dumps him. She says,
because he proposed. Did he propose? What's the order of operations? Did he propose to Katherine Hepburn first?
No.
Okay.
Ms. Swallow and Mr. Peabody, the lawyer.
Yeah, and I'll Swallow You Into the Dark, and that's from our show.
And I'll Swallow You Into the Dark.
And so that is IP Freely, and that's from our show.
And just quickly, while I'm talking, Chitara.
Yep. From Thundercat.
And then there's Wiley Kit and Wiley Cat, who is a boy and a girl.
Okay.
They're sort of the kids.
And there's Snarf.
And then later, Pumaira gets introduced.
Pumaira is a lady.
Yeah.
Are they all cats as well?
They're Thundercats.
They're anthropomorphic.
Thundercats. Okay.
Yeah, they're Thundercats. It's like if a human man or a human woman gave birth to a cat.
Right. Just like
in
this
film. Yeah.
Like in this film. Yeah. They show up at a county jail, everyone.
Yeah.
In this confluence of...
All the characters come together.
Right. And Miss Swallow is there, and she says that she no longer loves Carrie Mulligan because he's too...
weird?
Well, there's nothing else I can say, except that I'm glad that before our marriage, you showed yourself up in your true colors. You're just a butterfly.
His
so he got weird.
Wild.
But he's not...
Yeah, she made him
weird.
He's like
6 months pregnant with a panther at this point. She's like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well, because at the beginning of the film, right, Miss Swallow and Cary Grant are talking, and she says, our marriage must entail no domestic entanglements of any kind. And he's like, of any? And, you know, he's thinking, are we not going to have kids? And she's like, no, definitely this brontosaurus is going to be our child.
Yeah, they're not even going to have SEX.
So, yes, she says, this shall be our child of this
strongly dinosaur. Implied. Yeah.
But so this is an interesting dichotomy that the film sets up. It's the dinosaur versus the leopard, right?
Right. Yeah.
We're going to have a dinosaur baby.
Tail.
Yeah, exactly. Either we're going to bring this dinosaur to life by putting the final bone in it.
Oh, hey.
It's across the clavicle.
Did you see that, brontosaurus? I'd put the final bone in that thing.
Or we're going to have a leopard baby. It's so interesting. And then, what's her name? Lauren Bacall? Is that right?
Lauren Bacall, yep.
Destroys the dinosaur.
Catherine Hepburn. She sure does. Yeah.
She does. It's the last scene of the film. They all did their own stunts in this film. I don't know if you knew that.
She destroys the dinosaur, but think about the resonance of that, right? It's like this desiccated idea of like what... like a domestic arrangement can be, right? It's a fucking they're dinosaurs, but she destroys the dinosaur.
The dinosaur is dead. You know, it's a fossil,
and she kills it.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about the dead dinosaur and the fossils for just a second?
Yes.
I don't know if either of you are dinosaur scientists or bone scientists.
We are because of I'm a bone scientist, but we're both dinosaur scientists because we have a child.
Yeah.
But it certainly put on clinics.
Also due to an unfortunate and ill-advised sexual escapade.
Right.
So, yes. Yeah. That, so
we
it
did
all
not
comes
avoid
back,
domestic entanglements.
It all comes back to being a bone scientist.
Went to the lab.
They're related.
Yeah. There's a whole plot point and a whole character we have not even mentioned yet called George.
Yes.
Called what?
Who is...
Nice George.
David. George.
Who's George?
The dog. You know, don't you see? Dog, bone, dog, bone.
Oh! George!
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 George! Oh, stop it, Susan. You sound like an echo. George!
Nice George!
George!
Nice George!
Nice George!
George!
Isn't that the name of Carrie Mulligan?
No, Carrie Mulligan's name is Carrie Mulligan.
Okay.
His name is David. George's name is George. George is the dog.
David Bone.
Exactly.
Okay. And he's a bone doctor.
Yeah. And so am I. I do have to say, whenever you say that, I do have to say that I also am.
George is a dog.
Yeah.
Correct.
And
I have a fun fact. Can I say my fun fact?
Please.
The dog in this film is played by the same dog who played the dog in The Thin Man.
Oh, Eddie in Frasier.
It's the same type of dog. Is that the same dog, though?
It's 40 years later.
Yeah, no, that's no, but it is the same dog in The Thin Man.
The Thin Man. That's another film I fell asleep during.
Another film
during
I have often
multiple
tried to make
times.
Jack watch.
The Stephen King film.
My God.
Based on a Stephen King short novella.
Okay, yeah.
Guy gets cursed by
The Thin Man.
Fortune teller.
Because she like runs him over in his car.
He's like a obese man, and then he becomes super thin.
Yeah.
Thin man.
Go, Tanner.
Bone dog, the dog, George.
Yep.
Gets a hold of this dang fossil.
Yep. Yeah.
The last puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm. That's famous. That line is famous.
Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
Skellington. I don't know much about fossils.
No.
I don't know much about bones.
No.
Okay.
Here's what I know. Here's what something I do know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not the same thing, and fossils are essentially just rocks.
No, and I'm a bone doctor, so I can confirm that.
And why would a dog eat a rock?
And yeah, and why would a dog eat a rock, Sarah?
Sarah?
He thinks it's a bone, I guess. It looks like a bone.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And this came up last week, too, because there's a dog that licks Skeletor's face. Mm-hmm. In He-Man and She-Ra.
Oh, is there?
Great babysitting novel. But
it was a very sexually charged scene.
It's very sexually charged. I would like to introduce a very, very, very brief segment.
Okay.
And it's called... Is that Zoo?
Is that Zoo?
That Zoo? Okay. Yeah.
And it's also IP Freely, and they did steal from our podcast. And there's a scene at the 1 hour and 1 minute mark where they call the zoo, and she says, "Hello? Hello? Is that Zoo?
Hello? Is that Zoo?
Is that Zoo?
Yeah.
Is that Zoo?
And that's it. That's the segment.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? I don't know why she's doing that. They're trying to give away their own baby.
Yeah, they briefly decide that they should
find.
Okay,
they're trying to find like impalas or antelopes that their baby can eat.
Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense. I'd like to introduce another segment, if I may.
Great,
and it's our Catherine Hep. What do you think about that? Classic.
Fine.
Good. Fine.
Do you have a Catherine Hep burn of the week?
This movie's kind of all burns.
It's all burns.
Yeah, it's a lot of burns.
What's your favorite burn from this movie that is your favorite movie, Sarah?
It's a tough one because there's a lot of good ones, and I didn't take any notes.
Would you like me to go first while you're...
Yeah, you go first, and then I'll think of one that you didn't say.
Okay, my favorite burn from this book is at the 22-minute mark when Cary Grant is talking to a random porter at a hotel.
Uh-huh.
And he says,
"You see, I'm going to be married this afternoon."
And then the porter says,
"Don't let it throw you, buddy."
And it's good. It's a burn on the institution of marriage.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand personally.
You didn't understand?
I didn't understand it at the time because I was like, marriage is such a wonderful thing.
That's so nice.
It's changed my life in such a good way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I love you.
That's so nice.
Who are you talking to?
Thank you, dear.
Both of you guys. Tanner, what's your favorite burn?
There's just so many dang burns, but Jack, you and I have had a habit somehow of vacillating between films or media that is either incredibly harmful to cats or...
You keep making me watch cat murder movies. Sarah was there for that.
Incredibly...
I was there.
Reverent.
That did
cats.
Happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not a cat murder movie.
No.
No, it's a cat reverence movie.
Yeah.
It's a cat birth movie. It's the opposite of a cat murder movie.
Yeah. David Huxley, who is Carey Mulligan, says...
Susan, I don't like leopards.
Right.
And Susan, who is Audrey Hepburn, says...
Just think of him as being a house cat.
Okay.
And Carey Mulligan says...
Well, I don't like cats either.
Bullshit.
And my burn's on cats.
Yeah. No, that sucks. That sucks to say.
Sucks to say you don't like cats.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
Your wife just had a cat baby. It's a burn on her.
Well, they're not married yet.
Yeah.
They're not married yet. Okay. All right. That changes how I see this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of good burns in this
movie. It's full of burns. It's like the BPM in this movie is like really high.
But luckily, you know, Jack, you and I usually are just two people.
Mm-hmm.
We're only available to introduce... At most, two burns.
Yeah. Right.
But luckily, we've got a third here.
We've got a third burn here.
And yeah.
So and I feel like we've stalled enough.
Yeah.
So there's a part in the movie where they're, for various reasons, they're trying to wake up the lawyer at his house in Connecticut. Well, they're going to his house to try to talk to him. And Katharine Hepburn is like,
oh, no, we couldn't have gone to bed this soon. It's too early.
And Cary Grant is like,
oh, I don't know. If they expected a visit from you, they could, with the covers over their heads.
That's a good burn.
Because they're sleeping?
No, it's like if they knew you were coming to the house, they would go to bed and hide under their covers.
With the covers over their heads.
Yeah, they would not want to see you. They would try to avoid you because you bring so much chaos.
So ugly.
And they would put the covers over their heads.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Ugly inside and out. I have a new segment I want to introduce.
That's fucked. Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's called Who's That Cutie? And it's Princess Cutie Face. And she was just doing a little bath.
Oh, was she?
She was doing a little paw bath.
Oh, she's so precious. She's such an angel. She's in the background of the Zoom shot that Sarah's in. And I'm jealous. My angel.
She was giving herself a little bath.
Yeah.
Wow. What a precious sweetheart.
Does she hang out there all the time?
That's her main spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where the child never goes.
Yeah.
It's the least likely room for the child to be in.
Hercules has a tricky thing where he must be near Jamie.
Okay.
He must be. But every now and then, Jamie's in the playroom.
Okay.
Where Miles likes to throw full-size basketballs.
Okay, yeah.
With all his might.
He's a real baller.
And hit Hercules with them.
Oh, yeah. No.
That sucks.
So what Hercules will do is lick the ground in complete anxiety.
Sarah, do you love my cat?
That he's going to be hit with a ball.
You love my cat. You're in love with my cat. Say it on the podcast.
I do love Princess Cutie Face.
And you're in love with her?
In love with her?
Would
you ever, sire...
No, okay. I will not have
you. You didn't let
baby.
Me finish the sentence.
Okay. Go ahead.
Half cat, half baby.
No. Okay. The answer is no on that one. No.
Okay.
I'll allow it. And you know what? Fuck it. Turnabout is fair play. I love our child.
Wow.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and I'll say it on the podcast.
Yeah, and he finally admitted it.
Such a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads or we don't need eyes. As Tanner likes to say, it's from Event Horizon, and I'm out of notes. So,
okay. Have we actually talked about the babysitting in this film?
Please tell us about the babysitting. Yeah.
Okay. So, there isn't any babysitting in this film. There are no babies.
They give birth to a panther.
There are no babies in this movie, but there is quite a lot of cat sitting or leopard sitting.
Yes.
And one of them is called Baby.
Yeah, the leopard is called Baby. So
it's literally babysitting.
Yeah, it is. That's true. It is babysitting.
And so that's, what do they say on Mythbusters?
Plausible.
Plausible.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I would argue that the babysitting that they're doing of the leopard is not very good.
It's terrible.
Well, there's two leopards too, and they babysit both of them pretty
very
poorly.
Badly. Yeah. They give it raw meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They,
I mean, that's probably good for a leopard, but bad if the leopard were a baby.
This fucking chaos, fucking Mumra, fucking Katharine Hepburn, is constantly just letting this like crazy wild beast out of the house to roam around.
For no
reason.
Ducks.
Yeah, she lets him eat a bunch of ducks.
Jack.
Where's your outrage at the duck murder scene? You're always like pissed off anytime a cat dies in a movie. They're like 1,000 ducks died.
Yeah, I didn't like it. There it is. Like there's it. My outrage. I didn't like it. They murdered a bunch of ducks.
I'm not a car scientist.
You are, yeah. Well, we have to be because a lot of the books we read are about sentient cars.
Well, yeah, and we both love the song Fast Car.
Yep.
By Tracy Chapman.
Yep.
It's a good song.
Miles does love that song. But Miles recently, this is Dad Talk. Sorry, Sarah.
Yep.
Mom and Dad Talk.
Okay. Yep.
Miles recently has been asking for car songs and dump truck songs on the lady who we interact with in our house.
Of the lady.
And what we've decided to do with that is play him Tracy Chapman's Fast Car and
good choice.
Cisco the Dragon's Thong Song. Because there's a line in there about dumps like a truck. And he loves it. He'll listen to those back to back over and over again. But anyway, I'm not a car scientist. There are several scenes in this film where Audrey Hepburn just takes someone else's car.
Yeah, she does do that
and
a
is
lot.
Is that allowed? And is
She's
that how it worked back then?
Car thieving.
So I can only imagine that cars worked differently at this time in history because she obviously wouldn't have the keys to the two cars that she steals, which is first she steals Cary Grant's car at the golf course, and then she later steals the psychiatrist's car when they're at the butcher shop.
In Westlake.
In Westlake, Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah, so cars, I think, I'm not a car scientist either, but they must have worked differently and started without keys.
And I am a bone scientist, I should say that.
Is Cyril awake?
He is not awake.
Do you want us to wake him? I'll go.
Think so. I think if anyone in this room is an authority on cars, it's going to be Cyril.
That Cyril currently, and this is dad and mom talk, currently has how many cars in his bed, dear?
He's only allowed 2 cars in bed. Oh,
not when I put him to bed. And I
think, well, I put him to bed tonight, so.
And that's probably why you guys often have fights. But like, there may be cars for, like, I'll be like, you can have as many cars as you can carry into the bed. Yeah.
Miles will do that too. He has our house has 6 rooms in it, and Miles controls 2 of them. One his playroom, one his bedroom. Yeah. And often he'll be in his playroom, and we'll say, "Miles, it's time for bed. Let's go up to bed." And he'll want to bring a car with him.
Yeah.
And we say, "One car," and he'll do a thing we call goleming, where he'll go to his little car collection and he'll look at all of them and he'll try to grab as many as possible. As many as his little arms can hold.
Yeah.
To try to get them upstairs. Yeah. Him.
Tanner, while we're still in dad and mom talk, do you want to hear a tale about what happened to us this past weekend?
Yeah. Did your boy have terrible diarrhea that hurt his butt so hard that he couldn't go to school for 3 days? Because that's what my boy did.
Oh, no. Oh, you were finally able to go back to school and then...
We were finally able to go back to school and then Miles decided to have such heinous diarrhea.
God.
That it turned his butt into like raw meat.
That's such hashtag green ring problems.
He's just like his daddy.
Last weekend we went to the dinosaur park, which is
okay. Is that a thing in Texas?
Fucking rules.
Yeah, we have a dinosaur park.
It's this like huge outdoor.
It's like Jurassic Park.
It's like Jurassic Park.
It's like Jurassic Park. Yeah.
It's this huge outdoor sculpture garden where they've like found.
Oh,
like,
it's like a creationist museum. They're like, man and dinosaurs lived at the same time, thanks to Noah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish it were that.
It's just one big painting of Jesus petting an Allosaurus. it's awesome. It's like near us, and they've like got these like huge like life-size sculptures of dinosaurs, and you like walk through the park and it's like you look at all the dinosaurs and it's like it's fucking rules. Cyril was super looking forward to it. We drove to the dinosaur park. Along the way we got a flat tire and had to pull onto the shoulder of the road at a very, very dangerous part of a very scary highway. And I had to back up the car along the shoulder with like no room between me and the like fucking 18-wheelers that were zooming past. And the whole way that I was doing that, and both Sarah and I were just like had our like grim parent in crisis faces on. Cyril was like, "Why aren't we going to the dinosaur park?"
Yeah.
Why aren't we going to the dinosaur park?
You should have just let him out.
Where's the dinosaur park? Daddy. I thought you said we were going
to
be at the dinosaur park. We were just like, Cyril, I am backing up on the highway. Eventually it was fine. We did go to the dinosaur park.
Did you guys get a new tire?
We sorted it. It was a different problem. We sorted the car out and we went to the dinosaur
park. Sorry. It was a different problem.
I thought it was a flat tire. Some part of the car had fallen off in a dramatic way, and I fixed it personally, like the hero that I am.
What
and
a
then
fucking
we did go to the dinosaur park. And this has been Dad Talk.
Mom and Dad Talk.
And there's moms.
And moms, yeah.
Yeah. Hell of a film.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Jack, I'm personally offended that you haven't finished it. It is a very good film. It's very
I've tried my hardest. I've watched it so many times, and like this time I was like, I really gotta watch it because we're gonna what happens in the end? They get married?
Yeah. He gives birth to a fucking panther.
God, I keep forgetting.
She pretends to be a gangster for a while.
What?
Yeah, that's cool. She's got like this
I'm swinging to a city. Hey.
Wait, is this real?
Yeah, that really happens in the film.
What? Why?
Because
so
they all
she
get
can
arrested.
Sneak out of prison.
Yeah, they all get arrested, and the like befuddled county sheriff doesn't know what to do with them. And they keep like talking over each other, trying to explain what's happening. And then finally, Katharine Hepburn sees an opportunity to get out of her cell and manipulate the county sheriff and the psychiatrist who's there for some reason.
Kind of a big deal.
By doing this gangster character.
Hey, you ain't no lady.
Yeah, I kind of had your fool for a minute, didn't I?
You sure did.
Take a sucker out of a cuppa. What did I tell you my name was?
Why, your name is, Doc, what's your name?
Susan Vance.
Susan Vance.
Bonkity Bonk, that's my society moniker. But the marble calls me Swinging Door Susie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very funny.
Man, I gotta watch this movie, man.
Hell of a film. Hell of a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite film of all time.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do film. We'll do final thoughts and then we'll leave.
Okay.
Tanner?
I like this film a lot.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
Yeah, they didn't have any colors in it. It's hard to tell who's who.
No colors. Hard to tell anyone apart. Jamie and I literally, in the opening scene when they're in the museum and Cary Grant and his fiance Alice Swallow are interacting.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, is that Katharine Hepburn? I was like, yeah, it is. She's in this movie. Yeah. And then in the next scene, Katharine Hepburn showed up. I was like, oh, okay, wait. I guess that wasn't Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
I can't tell. It's difficult to tell people apart when they're all in black and white.
This is not a problem I've had.
Challenging film, both because it's in black and white and because
Sarah's
of
colorblind.
All of the
I am not.
Bestiality stuff is pretty tough.
Yeah, it was a different time. It was a different time.
It was a different time. Yeah.
You just kind of, they did that little disclaimer at the beginning that Disney does on their own racist films.
Yeah.
They're just like,
there's some real fucked up shit that happens in this movie. Try to get past it and enjoy the repartee.
Yeah. So that helped.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty challenging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this film. It's a hell of a film.
Yeah. Dearest?
Yeah, I love the movie.
Sorry. And you're right. I fucking totally forgot. Sarah?
Uh-huh. I do love the movie. I can't really condone their cat sitting in the film. They have a tendency let the cat just kind of roam free.
Okay, but you can condone the cat fucking.
Yeah, she's fine with that stuff.
You like that they
I mean if it passes the
birth to cat
if it passes the production code, then it's fine by me, you know.
May I say, Jeff, well, have you finished your final thoughts on the film, dear?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome to this fucking podcast. Let me say my final thoughts. The 18-minute and 17-second mark, Kerry Mulligan says to Audrey Hepburn.
You watched The Dig, right?
Yeah, we watched The Dig. We loved it.
It's good, right?
Yeah, super
rules.
Good.
It rules. Yeah. I loved it. I wrote a piece about it on Medium. You should read it.
I did read it. That's how I knew you watched The Dig.
Good. I really loved it. I really loved The Dig. I was surprised at how much I loved The Dig. And yeah, for folks who haven't seen both these movies, Carey Mulligan is in both of the films.
That's the through line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the 18-minute and 17-second mark, Clark Kent says to Kerry Mulligan, Susan, do they build all the houses in Rivendell alike?
Susan, do they build all the houses in Rivendell alike?
He says that.
Yeah, and it's my final Cam Geary fan theory. And guess what? This movie takes place in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Is that IP freely?
I mean, not if it's part of the same narrative universe.
When did Lord of the Rings come out? 1999?
Peter Jackson famously wrote The Lord of the Rings in the late 90s, I think.
Early
2000s. Early aughts,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember.
Later went back in time.
So he stole this from Tolkien. This film.
He did steal this from this film, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rivendell, the place where all the houses look alike.
It's also a vegan butcher.
And that's just a fun fact for everybody.
Crown Heights.
What I'd love to do is leave and also to go, I think.
Okay. You're done.
Up to you. Hey, I could talk about this film some more.
Okay, say it.
Do it.
Oh, no, I don't have anything to say. I just...
What other films in this genre do you think are good that I would like?
Sarah, maybe you know. There's a film where two people are on like a bus.
Oh yeah,
It happened one night. Jack, you would probably like, if you liked Bringing Up Baby, you'd probably like It Happened
it's
One Night.
It's called Speed, and it happens during the day.
I also really like It Happened One Night.
Okay.
Who's actually literally Clark Gable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, actual Clark Gable.
Yeah.
I like the Lady Eve, and I like The Awful Truth. I like The Philadelphia Story. There's a lot of great.
I think you made me watch that
story
one.
With
these same people.
Tom Hanks?
It's a comedy of remarriage.
It's Tom Hanks. It's about AIDS.
Isn't it?
It is a it's not.
That's a tough film.
Yeah. Tanner's confusing the issue, but yeah.
Am I right?
The Philadelphia Story, you are right. It is a comedy of remarriage.
Look who knows about fucking old movies where they don't have any color and you can't tell who's
look
who.
Listen
and
to
it's hard
talk.
To stay awake.
Yeah.
Best madcap comedies, Dumb and Dumber 2.
We'll watch that. You know what? For our next movie night, dearest, we'll watch a movie that you like and we'll watch a movie that I like and we'll watch Dumb and Dumber 2. For you, and then we can do
some. End of Days.
I was thinking early Arnold, Commando. Oh,
let's go late
do you know that?
Let's go late Arnold.
Here's a fun fact, and then we are gonna go. Do you know this fun fact, everybody? Everybody, listen to me. Everybody,
I'm listening.
Tanner, that includes you. Do you know that Die Hard was originally written as a sequel to Commando?
You've said this on the podcast.
No way.
Oh, it'd be so much worse with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Yeah, you got to have Hudson Hawk in there. He's the real hero.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I had one other thing I wanted to say. Listen to this.
Is it about Hudson Hawk?
No, it's about Bringing Up Baby. Ready? Mm-hmm. Bringing Up Baby. What is it about? What's that title? It's a weird title. What could it be about? Number one, possibility. Raising the possibility of having a child. Bringing up baby. Right? Mm. That's a thing that happens. It happens at the beginning of this film.
Yeah.
Cary Grant is talking about it, and the Alice Swallow says, no, our baby's going to be this dinosaur. Right? Yep. Interesting.
That's
interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possibility number two.
She's going to fuck a dinosaur.
Yes, and that's part of it. But listen, possibility number two, bringing up baby, what does it mean?
They have a brain in their penis.
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
I'm not a dinosaur scientist.
It's
listen,
like a cluster of neurons. It's close to a brain, and it's right in their...
If we have any dinosaur brain. Scientists, please weigh in on this. Possibility number two, what's bringing up baby? Bringing the inner child back in someone who's lost it.
Oh, that is what happens in this movie.
That's what happens in the fucking movie.
What happens in the movie.
Holy shit. Possibility number three. Are you ready for this?
Also happens in Kindergarten Cop. In Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Damn it. And Junior.
And Junior.
Listen, ready? Number three, bringing up baby. It's a boner.
Oh, hey.
Isn't it?
Boner baby.
If you did, it would be. Yeah. Oh, you're bringing up baby now. That's a thing you would say.
Well, and them reconstructing that. Skeleton sort of like bringing up a boner.
Wow, yes.
Right?
Okay, number four.
And they had a cluster of neurons right there.
They did.
Where are you getting this information?
Boner muscle. Just
it's from science.
Common knowledge.
It's from science.
Just and common then, knowledge.
Number four, ready? Finally, and this is just for Tanner, I think. Though, Sarah, you're free to weigh in. And I don't know if this is intended by the film. Bringing up baby, Tanner?
Yeah.
B, U, B.
B. Bub. Oh, schnicked.
That's what Wolverine says.
Yeah.
Is it about Wolverine?
Enough said. Bub, schnicked.
What?
And it's Wolverine.
And it's Wolverine.
Who's Wolverine?
Wow.
Wolverine is Hugh Jackman from Greatest Showman.
Uh-huh, yeah. And he's in this movie?
In a way.
Mm.
Because he's half animal, half man.
True.
And that's the Thundercats.
Yeah.
And that's the spiritual sequel to this film.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he have a
it's
brother?
The Thundercats.
Doesn't he have a brother who's like a leopard? I think that Wolverine has another guy who had adamantium. It comes up in the first Wolverine.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
another like, guy with adamantium?
Lots of guys have adamantium.
His name is Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Sabretooth. That sounds like a leopard.
It's like a leopard. We're going to have to go. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today.
It is all the time.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Tanner so very much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
To thank Sarah so very much for
I would like
me.
To thank Sarah, also, too. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being the expert.
Yeah, I was a real expert.
Thank you for taking the wheel.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. Mm-hmm. I would like to remind everybody to please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's the only thing that keeps us alive.
And it's just $5 a month, and we have a whole other show, and we talk about the Little Sister books. I would also like everybody to remember to fucking join the fucking Facebook group. It's, I'm sorry.
Just do it. It's really good. Sarah, what did you think about this thread where everyone was talking about how much they have a crush on me?
I didn't see that one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Avoid that one. Please do join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's on Facebook. You know how to find a group. Remember to buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. We've got shirts, we got totes, we got all sorts of good things, and one day we will put more things on there. And finally, please do remember to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a movie, and it was called Bringing Up Baby, and it's a babysitting movie because it's a sitting baby, and the leopard's called Baby, and they gave birth to it. Next week. Yeah.
What do we do? Jack, when are we prepared to pivot?
We're going to pivot soon, but in...
Okay.
You're going to pivot next to week. Screwball comedies?
Yeah. We're going to pivot to just screwballs. Tanner and I are going to start doing screwballs.
Yeah. Is that a drug thing or a drink thing?
Both and. And I think what also we're going to do is read a book next week. I had it in my mind what it was going to be, and I can't remember what it is. At some point, we're going to do Jane Eyre, but next week is too soon. Please remember my name. It's Jack Shepherd. Darling?
Yes, and call
darling,
me by
what
my
is
name,
your name?
Tanner.
And dearest?
Which one
heart,
am I? I'm Sarah.
I'm talking to the cat.
Yeah, I figured.
Princess.
And also the light of my life and the love of my life. What are
holy
your
shit,
name?
It is a long book.
Is it long? Super long?
The audiobook is 19 hours.
Next week we may be reading Jane Eyre, but if it's something different, it's probably because we're like halfway through Jane Eyre and we
might be Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, it's going to be Kindergarten Cop next week, and we're going to be reading Jane Eyre in a couple weeks. And my love, my heart, what is your name?
Me?
Tanner.
Either of you.
The cat?
Anyone who wants it.
Sarah Morgan.
Ah, yes. I guess you fucking didn't miss the name, huh?
Yep.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the trip, man. Take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way. Berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
Wow, she won't go to 12.
We only go to 11.
Just like completely refused to go to 12. Wow.
I thought we were done.
Just the
no,
look
we
on your
we,
face.
We always stop
too.
At 11 okay. Anytime we have a guest.
It's that, like an okay. Anti-masker, just like walking yeah. Into Walmart.
How am I yeah, like the anti-masker?
You got your cell phone out
here
and
I am.
Recording already.
Here I am.
I don't know how this took this turn.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.